All right, good morning, everyone. Please turn to the person next to you and say, this is going to be wild. You are definitely not going to agree with everything I'm going to say, and that's good, isn't it? Because you are here to be challenged, is that right? And stretched, and all of those wonderful things. So, Steve has asked if we can have a series of people coming up, and I'm the first one to talk about Romans and what was our favorite passage out of Romans and what was it that really grabbed us about Romans. And because I'm the first guy up, I'm going to choose a whole chapter because then that way I get to go use all my scriptures that I like to use. You know, when I was thinking about the book of Romans, there's a phrase that Eugene Peterson quoted, and I'm going to quote you in the Message Bible in a moment. But this phrase has been used widely, and it's this one here that says, the unforced rhythm of grace. I want you to say that. Just let it roll off your tongue. Just say that to yourself. The unforced rhythm of grace. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Now, I want it to just sink in for a moment. Just think of the first word, the unforced. How much of our lives do we feel under force? Forced to do something, pressurized, expectation, obligation. How much of our lives is by the clock or by the book or by the rules or by the guilt or by the emotion? How many of us would like to live, even for a moment, in a life where it's unforced? Just breathe. Take a moment. Just breathe. Just breathe that thought into your being. A life unforced. The word rhythm. I love rhythm. But we're surrounded by rhythm. Often we can't hear it. We don't feel it. We don't sense it. But yet we're surrounded by it. Life has a rhythm. Nature has a rhythm. Seasons of our soul have rhythm. We live as rhythmic beings and we respond to one another and there is a rhythm about life. But you know that if the drummer drums at a different speed to the piano player, the drummer gets sacked. I mean, it doesn't sound good. But how many of us spend our lives feeling like something is out of time? Not in rhythm with, disconnected from. And then the beautiful word that we've come to thank God greatly for is the word grace. A free gift. Christmas is the ideal opportunity to explain grace. I'm giving you a gift not because Santa says you've been a good boy or even a bad boy. I'm giving you a gift because I want to give you a gift. Isn't that wonderful? All that nonsense, how we slipped legalism back into Christmas. Good boys get good gifts. Bad boys don't get gifts. Church has been preaching that rubbish for years. We all get a gift. It's like Oprah. You're all getting one. And the gift is unforced. And it is in sync with you. It's the perfect gift. Unforced in nature and a gracious gift. And that is how I would describe Romans. So let's look at the context for Romans. Well, if you want to understand the context of Romans, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Because Jesus brings this fantastic introduction to the book of Romans. And he says this, but I'm going to read it to you this time. It's on the screen. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible where we pick up this wonderful phrase. It says this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting to you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Do you know how radical this piece of scripture was and how radical this must have seemed to the hearers of the day? Jesus is standing in front, in a synagogue, in front of a whole bunch of Pharisees, and he says to them, "Are you tired? Are you burnt out on religion? Do you realize how radical this message must have sounded?" Because secretly inside of them, they hated the fact they had to go to church on Sunday. They were over reading their Bible. They were tired of making it to the prayer meeting. And they regretted the fact that they had to give money. None of us, of course, have ever been there. But somehow the pretense had to be remain, and we had to smile and we had to carry ourselves with posture and shake the hand of the guy at the front of the church with a big smile on our face and say, "Lovely to be here." Are you worn out on religion? And this is the opening foray into Romans. Romans, the book of Romans, is the unpacking of this wonderful gift that Jesus is about to make on the cross, which is the gift of grace that is a free gift to all mankind. It is the gift of righteousness that he's going to place on you, and he's going to turn what is a dirty, horrible person into a clean, righteous, and justified dude. Even when you denied Christ and had no knowledge of him, he still loved you, died on the cross, and made you righteous. This is the preempt to the book of Romans. Because if you read the book of Romans and you understand the book of Romans, you can never go back to that kind of religion ever again. And if you find yourself drifting back to a religion that makes you feel worn out and tired, you ain't got it, dude, and you need to get it again. Now, how many of you know that the grace message, or certainly the message of Jesus, takes a little while to percolate? How many of you found yourself taking 3 steps forward and then 2 steps back? How many of you find yourself moving into freedom and then someone wittingly says something and you run back to law because somehow you're not quite sure if it really should be that good? Anyone been there? Anyone tried to justify why grace can't be as good as they say? Because actually this is a mind-blowing message. And the more you understand the book of Romans, the more mind-blowing it becomes. You see, what Jesus is telling everybody is the contract is about to change. Prior to the cross, the contract was a contract between man and Jesus. You obey, you get the forgiveness. But the contract changes after the cross and becomes between Jesus and the Father. Jesus does it, the Father accepts it, job done. And we have to change the way we think about the contract. And so Romans is an unpacking of the legal document that Jesus holds between him and his Father. Why don't you turn into Romans chapter 8 for me? Romans chapter 8 is my favorite chapter in Romans. But more than that, Romans chapter 8 is the bridging chapter between all the legalese. Chapter 7 talking about a marriage, bringing pictures of marriage. Chapter 5 talking about the inheritance and Adam. And then onwards in chapter 9 and so on into the fruit or the response. But we have to understand chapter 8 first. Now, I'm sure all of you can quote me lots of scriptures from Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to throw a few of them up for you to see. Getting old, so you have to forgive me. I want you to listen to this. Are you ready? This is the result of the cross. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, you obviously didn't get that, so we're going to try that one again. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. None at all. Not even a little bit. So if you're sitting there condemned, you ain't got the right gospel yet. Whatever you've done this week, however bad it is, there is no condemnation. Do you understand that? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Okay, you didn't get that one either. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. And if you are free, then you are free indeed. Is that right? You, however, are not in the flesh. Where are you? But you are in the Spirit. In fact, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, where does the Spirit of God live? Point to where the Spirit of God lives. So why did you sing that last song? We'll come back to that. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life is in you because of righteousness. Who is righteous here this morning? Who is totally righteous? Who is so righteous you can run into the Holy of Holies with no problem? But why do we have to convince ourselves somehow? You're righteous today, you're righteous tomorrow, you're righteous when you're sitting on the loo, and you're righteous when you're asleep. You're just righteous. It's full stop, finished, job done, righteous. For all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Who's led by the Spirit? Then you're not lost, are you? So stop saying you're lost. Because where does the Spirit live? In you. Is he lost? So are you lost? For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. If you are a son, can you ever not be a son? Regardless of whether your dad loves you or not, right? Or you love your dad. You're a son today. You're a son tomorrow. Just checking. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed for us. Who has a hope today? Our hope is the increased glory of God now and to come. Isn't that exciting? For I consider the sufferings, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray. How many of you ever got to the point where you just can't pray? Well, stop it. You shouldn't be doing that anyway, because who's doing the praying for you now? The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings. Where does the Spirit live? Who's interceding for you? Isn't that exciting? So even when you don't know what to say, who's praying for you? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Is this a good message? If God is for us, who can be against us? Where does God live? Oh, you got it. Well done. So if God is for you, who can be against you? Who? Ah, but there's a problem with that little verse. The problem with that verse is your understanding of how big God is. Because if God's a little mouse and he says that, it ain't going to count for nothing, is it? So how big is the God in your if God is for us? Who then will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No? Distress? Persecution? Escom? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword? Hijackers? Or the British? No one will separate you from the love of Christ. Do you believe this? I'm winding you all up in a minute because I'm going to catch you out so badly. But do you believe this? Really believe this? True? Honest? Okay. Know in all things then that we are more than conquerors. Say more than. Through him who loved us. So who does the conquering? him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or rulers, or things present, or things to come, or powers, or height, or depth, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's just a summary of Romans 8. But Paul can say that because he's unpacking Matthew 11. Because the faith that Paul is talking about is so different from the religion that the Pharisees were peddling up until that time. Do you see how those scriptures change you? Think about those scriptures. How many of you have heard those scriptures before? Okay. So let's just put them up here for you to see. So we're more than conquerors. How many of you believe you're more than conquerors? How many of you ever felt less than a conqueror? Put your hand up if you felt less than a conqueror. How many of you, when you felt less than a conqueror, thought that you were less than a conqueror? Right? How many of you have ever got to a situation you thought there's absolutely no way out? This is just going rubbish. I don't know how it's going to happen. But how many of you knew all things worked together for good? But how many of you didn't think that it was going to work out for good? How many of you ever felt lost, but yet you knew you had a sat-nav built in? How many of you felt God's not for you? Yeah? But yet you knew it. The problem here, though, is this. Is that we know all this stuff, don't we? We have knowledge of this stuff. But my point is the whole book of Romans is absolutely useless unless it changes from knowledge to knowing. All of this is nice stuff that we all go rah-rah on and we're going to walk home. But when the rubber hits the fan, no, road, rubber hits the road, and the other stuff hits the fan, it's the people that know this that are victorious, not the ones that have knowledge of this. Are you with me? So this is the question then. What then is our response to Romans 8? So I want to just take you through a little process that hopefully we can help us understand how to change things from a knowledge to a knowing. Now we live in a world where we try to do everything by the shortcut. If there's a quick way of doing it, we'll do it. If we can program a quick key, a quick something to get us where we want to go, we'll take that part. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is absolutely no quick way to changing knowledge into knowing. There's not a quick shortcut to this thing. And just reciting Romans 8 every day for the rest of your life also won't change it. There's this process that's at work in us. Now, the process is by way of the Holy Spirit, but it requires collaboration with our mind. Our mind needs to collaborate with the Spirit in order for this stuff to start to take root and hold. And we know that all things work together for good until we're in a situation that seems impossible. Now we start a process. And so the process of this is that truth has to be declared. We've declared the truth today. We write that down. We bring it in. We read it. We declare it. But now it has to take a process. It needs to go internally. Now, inside each one of us, there is a conversation that's running. If you talk to psychologists, they'll talk about the internal script or the internal story. Every one of us has an internal story. And the story is different depending on how we're brought up and what we have encountered in life. So when we talk about the father heart of God, for some people, it triggers the story that says, my father beat me. My father doesn't love me. My father hates me not to get anything other than A's. My father is angry. My father gets cross with me quickly. There's a story that gets placed inside of our mind, and that story runs. And whenever we hear the word father, that story comes into play. Now we have conflict. Because the truth says that the Father loves us and gives good gifts to his children. Then the story kicks in and says, therefore I must get an A to get the good gift. Just declaring the love of God doesn't change the story. The script inside of us is a code that we've allowed to get hardwired within us. It's the same script that says, when all things are coming against us, they will overcome me and I will fail. The script runs. And so we recite the scripture, but the script overrides that which is brought into it. Are you with me? You see, the Bible on its own won't bring any change to you. The Bible plus the collaboration of the Spirit brought into our very being is the only thing that changes for us. Are you with me? The question is, what is the script that you have pertaining God? You see, we think that just by declaring scripture, things change. It doesn't. By changing, allowing the Holy Spirit to change our thinking and our minds changes how we behave and respond. So the question I have this morning is this one. What do you actually believe about God? Because that's really the question that is going to be how you interpret all those scriptures I just read. What do you actually believe about God? Do you actually believe that God has grace to a limit, and then you step over that limit, you're going to hell? And I reckon if we're honest, a lot of us carry that. And I reckon that if we're honest, when we have bad things happen, we now think it's because we've done something wrong. And our first reaction is now to go and repent. Because the script of all those years of church life tells us that bad things happen when we step out of the will of God. But the question is, can you step out of the will of God? It's gone very quiet in here. But I want to know, what is the script? What is the story that's running in your mind? Has that been changed by the grace gospel? Do you settle for what you have because you believe that that's all you're worth? Even though you've read the scriptures that God holds the cattle on 1,000 hills and every blessing is yours in Christ Jesus. You know all the scriptures, but somehow you've settled for where you are because the script inside you tells you that's what you're worth. It's hardwired into us because that's the way we've been brought up. I'm this color, and this color has this status and no more. And yet, the life that God is talking to us about through the book of Romans is all conquering this. I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror. Is there not just to become a great sticker on a wall, but it's there to become a life for all to see. But God needs to change the script. What do you actually believe about God? Is God good? Is he? Really? When we look at the disabled child, is God good? When we look at the fact that right now 3/4 of the world starving and dying, is God good? You see, the script we have is very powerful and important. Christianity is not bubblegum faith. It's a deep, heartfelt knowing of whom God is. And the challenge this morning is, who is God to you? Who is he really to you? You see, the joy of the gospel is this, that we live from a place of rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're supposed to live from a place of rest, unforced rhythm of grace. But the forcing is the script, the story that still runs in our mind. I need to attain this God. I need to be this God. I need to do that God. Interesting how we need to change the way we view things. I want to come back to that song we sang earlier. This is one of the scripts that we need to change. For a lot of us, James, jump up here for me. I need you to help me here. For a lot of people today, obviously no one in this church, but this is just so you can help others. Would you just stand on this chair for me? Okay, so, little story here about the Holy Spirit. Well, it's not about the Holy Spirit actually yet. It's about best friends. A good friend is someone that visits you in jail. Is that right? A best friend is in jail with you. Now that's kind of like the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of how we interpret him. We think that I'm in jail and the Holy Spirit's going to come visit me. Come, Holy Spirit. Please come, Holy Spirit. I'm feeling very lonely. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Oh, Holy Spirit, I suddenly feel your presence. That's wonderful. And we commune together. And then he goes away. And now I've got to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And I've got to, for God is with me. I am more than a conqueror. Holy Spirit, please come. Feeling lonely again. I'm weak. Oh, now I feel strong. Thank you. This is how we treat him. This is how we think about God. We think that when we're in trouble, we need to ask him to come and help my situation. No, he's in it with you. He's in jail with you. This is rubbish. Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. He doesn't jump out 121 kilometers an hour. He doesn't leave you when you're in jail. He doesn't leave you when you're doing really bad things. He is with you. You are in him, and he is in you. But the script tells us, I must invite him in. What a load of rubbish. When we walk in the door, who comes with us? So do we need to invite him? But our script tells us somehow that he's out there, standing on a chair for me, watching over us from a distance. Na na na, na na na, na 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 na. God is watching you. What a load of rubbish. The old covenant was this. God, I come to you. The new covenant is me and Jesus. My life is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. Give James a round of applause. Well done, buddy. Thank you very much. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? But where is God? In you. So therefore you are more than a conqueror, because the God who of the God of the age is in you. You are a conqueror. That's your identity. It's not a position we take. It's whom you are. You have become little Christs. Do you understand that? You have been adopted into his family. But somehow we still feel it's me and Jesus. It's not. May I just be bold to say this? Often I hear people come to the front and talk about their issues, and then we pray for God to come and intervene. Why hasn't God intervened already? Is he a vending machine waiting for the right amount of money to pass through before it comes? Have we not fasted enough, or have we not said the right magic words? At what point then is it acceptable for him to come in? But my Bible says he's with me always and never will leave me. He was there before you came to the front. He's still there when you leave. Nothing's changed. All that's changing is the script inside our minds that understand he was with me all the time. You're not lost. The Holy Spirit is your guide. He's saying, turn right, turn, recalculating, recalculating, turn right, turn, recalculating, turn left, turn, recalculating. Pointless having a GPS if you ignore it. How are you guys doing? So we come to the last part of this rhythm. We've looked at the unforced. Winter, spring, summer, May, fall. All you gotta do is call. And I'll be there, yes I will. You got a friend. Now, that's old covenant language. Winter, spring, summer, May, fall. He's with you no matter what comes all. But the problem is the script that we need to change in our minds is this. Not only that, Romans 5, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Why is it important to have winter in our lives? It's important to have winter in our lives because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Stop blaming the devil for winter. If we don't have winter, we can never have summer. In agriculture, if we don't have the seasons, we all starve. Seasons of life are God-given rhythms for us to embrace. But the script tells us we should live in summer all the time. Someone once told you you'd never suffer. You never have hardships and it'll all be glorious. They lied. Because in the whole of creation, there is summer, autumn, winter, and spring. But when the script says, my God is for me, who can be against me? Nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. All things work together for good. When the script is no longer here, but is in here, I see winter as an opportunity for my character to bring hope. And I no longer think it's the devil. Isn't that wonderful? But some of us are hanging on to summer because we're scared of autumn. Oh, please don't let this end. This is so wonderful. Because I know that autumn's coming. Because we're afraid that autumn's not going to be great, but autumn is great. Because autumn speaks of change. Autumn speaks of God challenging again and changing and the Holy Spirit working on us more. And it talks about us turning into beautiful colors. Well, it certainly does in England. And so instead of hating autumn coming, we're embracing autumn coming because God is for us. Who could be against us? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. All things work together for good. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Autumn's coming. It's great. It's an opportunity. It's something I can embrace. Winter is coming. But this is not going to kill me. I'm pressed down, shaking together, running over. This is not my death. This is the beginning of new life. This is how to live from a place of rest. This is the unforced rhythms of grace. This is knowing that God is a good God who gives good gifts to his children. That the God who died on the cross for you did it whilst you were still yet a sinner and didn't know him. You might be in winter right now, feeling that God is standing on a stool and you're in the prison cell. Let me tell you, change the script because it's a lie you believe. The script is, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. You might be in summer, but you're scared to let go. When will this end? I know something bad is bound to happen. No, something bad's not bound to happen. All that happens is you move to a new season. And all things will work together for good. You might be facing retrenchment, and you wonder, how in the heck is this going to happen? But all things will work together for good. But it's no point just saying it. You have to have a script that says God is good. God is good. God is good. We must stop blessing brothers and start living in the blessing. We must stop talking about him with me, but him in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not routine, it's rhythm. And the Holy Spirit wants to dance with you. He wants to dance with you. Robbie, I'd like you just to come up if you can. Anytime you like, just whenever. Take your time. It's fine. Whatever. This morning, the challenge is this. The book of Romans is a fantastic book full of wonderful truths. But they are wasted on all of us until we allow the truth to change the script or the story within us. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit this morning will begin, well, he said he's begun a good work in you and he will perfect it to the day of Christ Jesus. So today is just part of that journey. And on this journey of Christ perfecting us is this. Are you willing to have the story changed in your mind? Are you willing to contemplate that the word Father does not mean ugly, horrible, judgmental? Are you willing to understand that even if your life has not gone the way it is, that it wasn't God trying to show you that you're only worth this? Are you happy to change the story in your mind that says, I am worth much, much more? Are you happy to even go there in your mind and imagine what it would be like to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus? What would that feel like? Because that's the true story that should run in your mind. Are you happy to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I am a beautiful creation, a royal diadem, someone who Jesus adores? Are you even able to go there this morning in that script? Are you able to go to a place where you feel you've done the worst thing possible and yet still understand in your script, in your story, that Jesus loves you as much now as he ever loved you ever before? Let's stand.